In this episode of the Tech Stack, the technologists reveal why each of them are motivated to assemble for the Tech Stack next. Today is Friday, August 1st, 2025. And for those of you that are new to us, the Tech Stack webcast is all about a trusted team of professionals, what we call the technologists, having deep tech conversations that cut through the hype to deliver actionable insights from top tech analysts backed by proven research and deep experience in the field. And with that set up, joining me for today's podcast are my fellow technologists, David Altavilla and Marco Ciappetta, principal analysts at Hot Tech Vision and Analysis, Francis Sadeco and Jim McGregor, principal analysts at TRS Research. And I'm your esteemed host, Mark Vina, CEO and principal analyst at Smart Tech Research. Guys, welcome to today's podcast.
Good to see you again, Mark.
Thank you.
Nice to see you. Well, this is going to be a fun podcast, folks. I think we all have, you know, diverse and interesting reasons why we all kind of banded together to take this on. Absolutely a diverse group from a background standpoint. We even have Red Sox fans on the podcast, which I really personally have a problem with.
We all hold that against them.
I will.
I won't get into a certain person about that. But I want to talk a little bit about the reasons why we've all come together. We've all known each other for quite a bit of time. For me, you know, the big deal is a variety of different reasons. You know, my chief reason is that I respect all of you, even though some of you may be affiliated with the Boston Red Sox. I'll put that aside. But we all have different backgrounds. You know, some of us come from classic, you know, product marketing, being on the product side of things. That would probably be a guy like me. You know, I jumped into the analyst game about 6 years ago. So I'm relatively new to the field, but also the communication scheme is changing. The way, you know, we companies are covered are an entirely different way today than it was even five years ago. So with that, let me start with Dave, and I'd like to get Dave's perspective. You know, Dave, what's your big motivation for why you're part of this?
Why would I put myself through this, torturing myself with you guys, just because I happen to live in the Boston area, the Red Sox here, team Red Sox, or the Red Sox Nation, if you will. You're absolutely right, Mark. It is a great opportunity to get together with some esteemed analysts, folks like you, guys like you that enabled deep insights that I don't think come too commonly these days. But it's an opportunity to get together with my esteemed colleagues in a time when there's a real need in the market for well-rounded collective opinions and analysis pulled together from true technologists like yourselves. We have a great opportunity to make deep tech digestible. That's what gets me up in the morning. And I don't think any of us consider ourselves financial analysts by in any way, shape, or form, right? But however, we are certainly capable of unpacking deep tech to assess market impact, to assess growth trajectory, and we can influence markets and decision makers in the process. And I think that's what is so interesting to me. There's a great opportunity as a team for what we're bringing together as a team here. I also think there's so many different disruptors emerging in the market right now as well, from the explosion of AI and who's going to be the next big NVIDIA or OpenAI in the market, or OpenRISC-V, the emergence of that and how that's gaining traction now, to robotics, agentic AI. It's just a fascinating time to be in the market. Things are really heating up, and I'm pretty stoked.
Now, Francis, let me drill down a little bit about one of the comments that Dave made, because, you know, I think we all feel that we are influencers to the degree, as much as that, I don't know if that term has come into disrepute, but the fact of the matter is, you know, we have friends, we have colleagues, we have all kinds of people that come to us for our opinions about technology, because it's a pretty confusing landscape. But with that, you know, it's that old Star Trek. Was it Star Trek or Star Wars? you know, with great power comes great responsibility.
Spider-Man, Mark.
Spider-Man.
You know, Mark, if you say that in some circles, you're going to get beat up.
Yeah, I would get attacked. And Stan Lee would come out of the grave and jump on top of me. Yeah. But, Francis, we're going to get your opinion because that's really important because I think that we all take this very seriously. You know, Dave spoke to the financial angle about it, that we're not financial analysts. We're not mini Jim Cramers, and we don't profess that to be. You know, we do drill down on the marketplace from a headwinds and tailwinds standpoint. But I think we like to call balls and strikes. So let me get your perspective on that, Francis.
Yeah, so I don't know that I'd call us influencers in the way that's being used in kind of general social media right now. We do influence a lot of people. And I think the biggest distinction is we're not just looking for target just any click, right? We're not looking to just get a bunch of people clicking it in, you know, some country across the world just for the click. We are looking to really work with the people, both the people that we'll feature in this podcast, but also the people that we are looking to get an audience with and already have an audience with, because I think you'll probably go over this later, Mark. But you know, just collectively, we already have a pretty big and strong audience. And the important thing about that is that it's not just, again, a bunch of people. It's the right type of people who need to understand what's going on in the technology landscape and how best to implement that in their businesses. And I think that's been my motivation in working with you guys. We're in a really unique time in the industry right now where technology is no longer the sole area or realm of the technology industry. So with some of the things that Dave mentioned, as far as AI and so forth, technology is now is very pervasive in really every aspect of the human condition. So what that means is there are a lot of companies right now where they've used technology in the past. Obviously, everybody uses computers, cell phones, or whatnot, but it has never been a core part of their value proposition or capability. Now, with things like AI and then even soon after that, quantum and so forth moving forward, it is now a major part of how they do business and how they deliver their value proposition. And a lot of these companies have never really used technology in that way. So one of the things that's really motivating me is trying to bridge that gap, you know, between the technology and then how companies can really utilize them and take advantage when maybe they've never really had to do that in the past. So bridging that gap is a key motivator for me. And I think it is something that both our featured guests that we're going to have and our audience is going to find a lot of value in.
Now, Marco, please forgive Francis for pointing out that he's not Kim Kardashian. He's not an influencer in the traditional sense, in the Kim Kardashian sense, which is good.
Yeah, I don't have the hair for that.
But Marco, let's get your perspective on the topic. Hair's off. We'll probably come at it from a slightly different angle. So let's get your perspective.
Yeah, so you know the speeds and feeds and the deep technical disclosures are like what get my juices flowing, and I often find that you know, in my opinion, right, we're working with, you know, and engage with companies that are filled with some of the smartest people in the world, and we're often fed so much information from the fire hose. It's really tough to absorb it all in a couple of hours in a briefing or on a Zoom call or what have you. So being surrounding myself with guys like you, where we can have a deep discussion, it really helps me to form opinions and perhaps change opinions where I didn't fully understand something before. So that's part of my motivation. Like I often say I love being the dumbest guy in the room, and I'm happy to surround myself with guys like you that could help me build my knowledge base and form really solid informed opinions. Now, I also agree with what Francis is saying, that the companies that we engage with, they often don't leverage technology properly. And I'm speaking strictly in terms of engaging with audience and engaging with media or engaging with analysts. And the people that they're trying to reach are also consuming a lot of this information differently. So this particular format where we can sort of just all hop on camera and have a lively, active discussion that's purely organic and cover all of the finer points that we really need to get out there from some deep technical stuff that's perhaps not easy to understand. I think it's a fabulous medium for getting information out there. And I'm looking forward to seeing what we can all do together.
Marco hit the nail on the head. One of my favorite sayings, if you feel like the stupidest person in the room, you're in the right room. Right?
Exactly.
That's a great, I love that saying. Yeah.
Go ahead. Too bad Stan Lee's not alive. He'd appreciate that. That would have shown up in a Spider-Man movie. Jim, you know, here's the interesting thing I want you to kind of focus on, in that we all come at things from a big, you know, fairly robust technology standpoint. And one of the things, me, you know, being in my prior portion of my career, being on the product side and launching products for companies like Compaq and Dell and Alienware, yada, 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 is the trade-offs that you have to make behind the scenes if you're a product person that sometimes is not fully recognizable by a customer or by a third party. And I think if you come at this, what we do, from too high level and you've never really had your fingers in the mix about those big decisions that you have to make, you know, again, the end user customer, whether he's an enterprise customer, whether he's a consumer customer, they don't really have a full appreciation of the agonizing decisions that you think that you have to make. So I wanted you to kind of discuss it from that perspective, because you do obviously have a very rich technology background, and I'm sure you have a perspective.
Yeah, definitely. You know, it is challenging. It's great to be an analyst. It's great to, you know, see all the new technology, where technology is going, work with these companies and everything else. But it's also a challenge to be on that other side of the fence. You know, when you're an engineer, you're a product manager, you're focused on what you're doing. Same thing if you're just watching technology and you're trying to analyze where technology is going. Unless you're really involved in it and you see everything from a broader perspective, it's sometimes difficult to really understand everything that goes into it. You know, I really hope that, you know, through myself and my colleagues' technical background, as product engineers, product managers, everything, and analysts, that, you know, we can really bring some of that detail into focus. And that's a key reason for doing this. You know, there is so much going on in the industry right now. The pace of innovation has never been faster than it is today. You know, we all go to a lot of conferences. We talk to a lot of different companies. We all have different perspectives. We get the opportunity to talk to each other on a regular basis, but, you know, we're all coming at it from a different angle. And I really, really hope that, you know, this series, this webcast series that we're doing, A, not only provides them with timely information so that, you know, not just once a month, once a week, but, you know, several that we're doing on and on and on, you know, but it gives them the detail to really understand where the decisions are, where the technology is, where, you know, where everything fits together, all these massive pieces of the puzzle that fit together. I mean, it seems like every day, that's the best thing about being an analyst, is every day I'm still learning. And it's great to learn. It's great to work with esteemed colleagues that, you know, we're also on the same path and looking at things, different technologies, different markets, and different things in different ways.
Yeah, Dave, I'd like to kind of drill down on what Jim was talking about, and that it is kind of a fun job. Let's face it. You know, we do a lot of traveling. We go to fun places. It's not a 9-to-5 job, because a lot of the companies that we tend to cover are all over the globe. You really can't be, you know, specifically focused on the U.S. if you really do want to have a perspective of what the market looks like. You have to really have to take a look at it from a global standpoint. But, you know, the thing that's changed, and thankfully, in the last couple of years, is that, you know, many of the companies that we cover have these events, and thank God we're past COVID. And we're not going to, I think we've been out of it for quite some time, which I think the world appreciates, but now we're actually going to events. And very often, this is the perspective I want you to give us, Dave, is that when you go to these events, I mean, it's always nice to be at home in front of your computer and you can take notes and it's easier from an operational standpoint, but there's no substitute for going to an event and having off the record conversations that might give you a perspective on things that you don't get on a canned scripted event that a company may offer. So let's talk about it from that angle.
Sure. Yeah. No, great observation, Mark. You know, and it's funny, COVID did allow us to scale a little bit easier, right? Because you could, you're very efficient with, you know, a camera and a mic like we are right now, in front of each other, you know, to get a lot of meetings in and to cover a lot of ground, right? Super efficient medium. Great. And COVID sort of brought that out, you know, because it really wasn't as big as it used to be to have these Teams meetings and what have you. But you're absolutely right. The backdoor conversations, you know, having a cocktail or a cold one with, you know, a colleague from one of these companies, you know, the partners that we work with, semiconductors, systems, OEMs, really getting to know people. And I think that's the perspective that I enjoy bringing. And I think you guys all enjoy bringing as well. And we hope to bring to this webcast is the people behind the brand. There are some brilliant minds, as Marco alluded to earlier, that we work with every day. And sometimes you don't hear about them. You hear about the product, the speeds, the feeds, what it can do, how it's reshaping the landscape, but you don't get a sense of the people behind it. And so really good to have this medium to expose that, to get to know people that are making, reshaping the landscape in tech, but also getting the perspective when we go to these events to meet with these folks, getting the perspective of, you know, for lack of better words, how the sausage is made, and really developing those relationships, and learning how these teams come together to reshape tech. It's fascinating, and I hope we can help deliver that to our audience here as well.
Now, Francis, you know, you kind of referenced it before. We do have a combined, an individual and a combined, pretty impressive social media reach. It's LinkedIn, Twitter, or X, I should say, even Facebook and Instagram. I never thought I'd have the 30,000 followers on Instagram, but that's a different topic. The question I have for you, Francis, is that from a diversity of the network that we have is some pretty important people, you know. Now, it's a combination of two people, a couple of types of people. People that are in the limelight all the time, whether at the CEO level or at the SVP level. But sometimes, you know, consistent with what Dave just said, you know, there are folks that are, let's say, at the manager level or at the director level that may not get that kind of day in, day out exposure, but they're making the sausage, you know. So, and we get a chance to speak to those people, and we hope to have many of those people on this podcast. So I'd love you to talk to that.
Yeah. So the interesting thing about that, Mark, and one of the things I think that we're trying to do as a group here, and why we have technology all over the place, like the technologists, tech stack, and so forth, is that what we're really trying to bring to the fore here is the technology that is enabling all of these new use cases, all of this new value creation that's happening, whether it's allowing companies to increase their revenue or diversify their revenue streams or make themselves more efficient and productive. Either way, it's a value creation tool and really delving deep into the technology. So given that, yes, obviously we're going to be talking to the C-level folks, but there's also a lot of folks that are extremely into the technology. And that's really what we want to explore, right, with our audience, both, again, with the companies that we feature on this podcast, but also those people that are going to be watching this. And, you know, having those kinds of conversations, one of the things that I love about it is not only do we get to understand the what, but also the so what and the yes but. And I think that's really what's important here. The technology is a technology. We need to understand it. Now, how do we, I think where the rubber meets the road is how does it then, you know, translate into value creation for different companies out there? And that's where the so what and the yes but comes in. And just an example of a yes but, for example, I think everybody's lived through the cellular, you know, G's that we've gone through, from 1G all the way now to 5G, and we're even starting to talk about 6G now. I mean, right around the 3G, 4G transition, in 3G, you know, everybody was talking about throughput, right? And yes, that's absolutely important. But what's even more important, or maybe just as important, is latency. And nobody was talking about that. And those are the kinds of insights that we want to bring out in this kind of medium, because why is that important? So in those situations, in 3G, it was all about throughput, like I said, and we were talking about video calls, like video telephony is what it was called at the time. Now everybody knows it as FaceTime or whatnot. But what throughput did was, if it got to a high enough level, it made it possible. But what made it usable was the latency. And that's why it was so important to also bring that out to the fore. Because if you ever tried to do a video call back in the 3G space, you could do it, but it was so delayed and stuttering, you wanted to throw your phone out the window. It wasn't until we got the latency available in 4G and on that it became something that was usable. And so those kinds of insights, I think, are what, you know, as we talk to those people that you mentioned, are what we try to bring out and make those connections again to maybe people, companies and audiences that had never used core technology as a core for their value proposition, but are now starting to have to do that. And they need to make those connections.
Now, Marco, I want to kind of pose a question to you, because you know you're involved in a lot of product review activity and you do a lot of really great stuff, you and Dave. But the thing that's interesting is it's been my experience, most a really good company, whether it's an ingredient company or whether it's a company that creates end user products, whether it's on the enterprise side or whether it's on the consumer side, they really value very frank and candid feedback. It's very rare that I, at least in my experience, you know, when I've done, product review stuff, that you get a company that goes ballistic if they don't like your feedback. Because generally, if it's well-formed, if it's, you know, feedback that's reasonable, they'll react in a very, hey, thank you for pointing that out. Because despite what people think, there is no such thing as the perfect product. Every product involves trade-offs, like I was talking before. So let's talk a little bit about from your perspective, because, you know, you are knee deep very often in product reviews, and just talk a little bit about, you know, the fact is that we really want this, this vehicle to be a very frank and candid tool to really call balls and strikes. We don't want this to be kind of an electronic press release that's going to say, hey, how wonderful everything is, because it really is. Right. So let's talk about it from that perspective, if you don't mind.
Yeah. So you three guys just set me up perfectly for a thought I had in my head, like just going back for a second, talking about the relationships we have with the people involved at these companies, right? The relationships we have with them are important so we can extract information, but the relationships we have with audience and they have with audience are equally important. And like our goal with this setup, right? When we have guests on, we want to be able to allow them to for viewers to get information directly from the source. There's always room for misinterpretation or mistakes when somebody is injecting an opinion or someone's trying to interpret a press release or interpret a briefing. So if we can have one of the companies directly engage with audience, and then while we're surrounding them, ask those really pointed questions, give them the critical feedback necessary to either improve a product or to bring a product to market in the best possible way, that's really where the rubber meets the road, right? If you're just giving lip service and never giving any negative feedback or never being critical and not providing actionable insight to improve whatever the wares may be, right? There's really very little point to this, right? So I think it's important not only that we can present to audience, right, the clearest information and the most accurate information possible, but to then dissect it with a bunch of like-minded, well-rounded, experienced individuals in the space. And I think that's what we're going to do here.
Now, Jim, I want to dive a little bit deeper on what Marco said, in that very often, some of the very, very good companies that we tend to cover, they really, first of all, they do a nice job of kind of briefing us weeks before something gets announced. Some companies will brief us months before something gets announced with an embargo date. because they're looking for our feedback. I mean, very often, this is not just a one-way street. I mean, they're having this conversation maybe on the technology product side. What do you guys think in terms of how this we're positioning this? How do we think? How do you folks think that's going to fare in the market? And even from a branding messaging standpoint, we very often will get pinged weeks before. And there has been evidence. I know. I have specific examples where a company, you know, what they told us maybe 8 weeks before is slightly different from what they announced at the get-go. So, and I know you, Jim, you've been involved in a lot of that. So, Jim, let me get your perspective on that part of the equation.
Well, I'll be honest with you, Mark. It's not just messaging around products. We've been engaged with companies on everything from corporate strategies, M&A activity, product positioning, product definition. So, you know, really working with companies to, you know, provide insight on, you know, how are they going to succeed in the market? You know, trying to help our clients succeed in the market. And that is everything from product definition and corporate strategy all the way through product launch and continued lifecycle support, you know, and, you know, the advantage is that we get to see a lot of what's going on. We get to see the changes, you know, and that's a big part of our job is to try to understand those market inflection points and how it's going to impact everybody from the way the technology is designed to the way the technology is used and the way the technology is interpreted. I mean, just like at AI right now, there's still a lot of people that think AI is a bad thing. thankfully, you know, and I'm not necessarily saying yay or nay in terms of our current administration, but our administration just took a lot of the, is breaking down a lot of the barriers we had to really accelerate AI innovation in the market. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a great opportunity. And I think it's our opportunity, you know, as analysts to help, you know, direct the industry, direct the regulators, direct Wall Street, direct consumers about, you know, where technology is, where it's going and, you know, how it should be interpreted.
Well, this has been a great discussion. I'm glad we had it. I think the audience that we hope to get involved in this, I think will appreciate the candor and frankness and just the insight that we all have being folks that have been around in this space for some time. Let me give each of you about a minute just to some closing comments of why you're so excited to be involved in this. Dave, we'll start with you.
Hot seat. Here we go. Well, you know, I would say I'm excited because, as I mentioned earlier, technology is moving at such a fast pace now. We've hit an inflection point in terms of whether it be, you know, AI designing silicon. We're able to do so much more with so much less resource these days. And so I am absolutely fired up. I think we have some of the best jobs in the world because we get to track this market space that we're in. Technology is super fascinating, and we get to work with some of the brightest minds. And so I'm fired up to bring it to our audience, to help unpack it, to talk about what excites us. And, you know, I'm fascinated every day with what I learn, and I'm looking forward to helping others learn as well with all of you guys who are super smart folks as well. So, hey, feel pretty fortunate. That's for sure. Gratitude. I would say that would be the key word for me.
Francis, why are you fired up?
So Dave said, and I agree with him in terms of the the velocity at which you know, technology is evolving right now. And given all that, is trying to find those nuggets, like I said earlier, the so whats and the yes buts, and making those connections. I want to go deeper than just a press release and what that means, or you know, the headlines that you see out there. You know, with this group, I think we're able to take that and then figure out, okay, what does it really mean? How do we cut through the hype, both positive and negative? And where is the right time for a particular company to engage and how to engage? So I think, you know, that's what I'm passionate about, is figuring out how to me, innovation isn't just, you know, pie in the sky or talking about new technology. It's about taking that technology and making it work for us and create value. So I think that's what I'm really passionate about.
Marco, let me give you a shot.
Sure. So I'm the luckiest guy here, right? So I thrive on the energy of other people, and I have been passionate about technology since a very young age. And nearly 30 years ago, Dave came across me from another website. We started this, started to work together, and I turned my hobby into a career. So I get to do every single day what I've loved to do since I was a kid. And I get to work with great guys like you and engage with literally the who's who of the technology space. So I couldn't be happier from that standpoint. And to start something from ground zero with you guys and hopefully build it into something really great, I'm excited to see what we could do.
Jim, you have the final word here.
Oh boy.
I'm just having... it's really what excites me about you guys is not only the opportunity to work with you, but the fact that we're going to be bringing on some very intelligent and respected people into this series to talk about, where technology is going, what their vision is, how they think the technology, the market, the usage models are going to evolve over time. And the fact that it's changing so rapidly, I think it gives us a great opportunity to keep that dialogue going constantly.
Well, that's great. Well, gents, guys, thanks for your time. It was always great catching up and doing this kind of broadcast. I'm very, very excited about it, getting involved in this myself. And for our viewing and listening audience, thanks for making the Tech Stack a part of your day. Folks, please hit these like and subscribe buttons, or use these handy on-screen QR codes to connect with us. And until next time, we're looking forward to catching up with you on the Tech Stack.